15 people died as a bus collided with a private vehicle and subsequently plunged into the Yangtze River in Chongqing Municipality. According to the local police and CCTV footage that's been released, the tragedy was caused by a fight.A physical fight between a female passenger and the driver. I'm sure most people are as surprised, overwhelmed, when we heard the news. Of course, our hearts go out to the 15 families that's affected. Here, what do we know about this tragedy so far?
Firstly, the tragedy happened on September 28th, which was the last week, and a bus carrying 15 people swerved suddenly onto the wrong side of the road on the second Yangtze River Bridge in Wanzhou District of Chongqing Municipality, striking an oncoming stand before breaking through a guardrail more than 50 meters above the water on September 28th.According to China Daily Report last Friday, which is October 31st, the bus was lifted out of the water at 11:28 p.m. on that day night, and the body of 13 people had been found and confirmed their identities. Two people were still missing, and the search is continuing. So since the accident had been reported to the public, the development of the case have been seen twists and turns, and the black box recording device from the bus was found on Wednesday, which was October 31st, and handed over to the local public security bureau. According to the police investigation, a 48-year-old female passenger on the bus, she argued with the driver because she missed her stop and then attacked the driver, causing the tragedy.
Wow. Attacking the driver, that just makes me feel, that's someone that you would never want to attack. I mean, if they're driving...trying to get you somewhere. And I'm so surprised to hear this.
Yes, certainly. I think the nation is shocked.
Yes.
And because this is the part that I just cannot wrap my head over with. That is, well, if you're on a bus or on any public transportation, a vehicle, and there's one person that's controlling the steering wheel, and you don't want to mess with that person because essentially...the lives of this person, the driver, and everybody else on the vehicle is in the hands of one person.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't want to fight this person. But I suppose sometimes when you have a disagreement or you're not happy with whatever is going on with the driver, I mean, that's one thing we will discuss in a second. But here, how come...I guess this is the part that it's almost painful to talk about. How come so many people died in this one incident?
Well, more than 70 rescue boats came to the scene, including three floating cranes with a total capacity of about 125 metric tons. 18 professional divers were carrying salvage operations with 20 divers serving as backups. You know, but the bus was lifted out.Eventually. And there were a lot of, you know, difficulties as well. According to the Ministry of Emergency Management, the salvage work was especially difficult because of the small size of the bus and also the depth of the water, which limited visibility and shifting currents that impeded the divers. And so, yeah, the bus came to rest at like 71 meters under the river's surface. So all the windows were broken out and it rested its nose down at about 30 degree angle.So it's really difficult to access the bus. And, you know, at that level, you have the high water pressure, you know, so salvage work was difficult, you know, and very dangerous because the pressure is about 8.5 times the standard atmosphere. So, you know, extracting the actual bus, and when the bus goes off the edge, it's really difficult the chances of survival is just really, really low. So it's unfortunate that it went off where it went off and it went into the water. Mm-hmm. And also divers need to use special mix of oxygen and helium. And, you know, the proportion of oxygen and helium must be very accurate. Otherwise, you know, you could risk the life of the divers as well. So, and again, you know, limited visibility, the complex underwater situation, limited visibility, you know, you just can't see. So mm-hmm. it's just a really difficult situation. And, you know, for divers, I'm sure I'm sure they probably felt like they were, you know, it was a bit of a difficult situation where they probably wouldn't be able to rescue many people.
Yeah, they tried their best, but sometimes due to the limitation of what you can do, given that really complex physical situation, when we see 15 lives lost just like that. And here we must ask this question. That is, who's responsible for this, given so much happening? So in a few words, let's just revise it again. There was a fight between a female passenger with the driver, and then to avoid being harassed furthermore, that driver just tilted the steering wheel, and then this bus collided with another sedan, a small vehicle. And fortunately, that driver, a female driver that was in that sedan, she's injured, but she's alive, well and dandy, luckily. So, but the bus itself plunged into the water. Well, who should be held responsible then?
It's a very interesting situation. I would imagine that the person who was angry, I believe that she missed her stop. And so, like most people who miss their stops, they're very upset. And you have to, I believe there was construction going on and this individual was not able to get off. And so she would have to recuperate five stops later. So that would be very difficult for anyone. And I think perhaps at that moment, she just was just really angry and wasn't thinking about really anyone else on the bus other than just...
Or herself.
I think she was just, this person must have been furious to just attack someone that was responsible for her life and everyone else's life on the bus. So temporary insanity, I think just really, really angry.
Well, do you think temporary insanity is something that can be used as a...
as a defense?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. I think that... this is not something that you could definitely use in court, but I think that that would be relevant or necessary right now.
What do you think, Huang Shen?
I think after checking out the latest updates of the case, I do believe the female passenger should be the first one to be blamed. But I also think it makes two to form a quorum. So I think the driver also have some responsibilities. I mean, even though I know he was in a very vulnerable position because a passenger suddenly shouted and also scratched him. I know he was in a very awkward position. He wanted to get rid of this irrational passenger, but he didn't know what to do. But I think what he could do was he could stop the car for a while and to settle down the argument before moving on. And also, I would like to blame the passengers, maybe because I'm an outsider, so I could blame them. But I think some of them could step into the situation because it's also concerning your life, your safeties. So maybe some of the passengers could step in and trying to calm the two parties and trying to solve the argument instead of watching the two sides fight or argue with each other.
Well, you make some interesting points here, Huang Shen. First of all, I wonder if this driver can stop the car, though. Because imagine this is on a busy bridge over a river. And if you stop, then we know that, well, what about the traffic behind? There could be the potential hazard of a pileup. And we don't want that, right? So I think for the driver, he has to follow strict rules about where he can stop and where he couldn't. So, yeah, that would be, again, this is a really difficult situation for the driver. And he also needs to drive the car at the same time and trying to find out the best solution to fend off this person that's trying to get him to stop the car when he possibly shouldn't.
I think you made a really good point there with being on that bridge. And I think that for most bus drivers, they're supposed to stop and be able to call the police to have them sort out the issue. But I think in that situation, like with traffic and And also, these type of situations seem like a bit of a novelty. When it does hit you, sometimes you just don't know how to react. And also someone trying to reach the steering wheel while you're driving, I could only imagine the frustration, the fear, everything. And yeah, Huangshan, you mentioned the other passengers. I mean, I feel like since everyone's lives are at stake, I'm wondering if anyone even, you know, got up to try to quiet down the irate passenger or not. And I'm not sure if that would have helped, but, you know, it definitely would have seemed like the right thing to do at that time.
And here, again, for the passengers, well, let's try to picture what a passenger would be doing on a bus, possibly playing with their phones.
Very likely.
Or listening to music, or at least your attention is probably not on the driver, because you assume that this is just another ride and you're in safe hands. So I understand that, yes, if somebody could have intervened, then that'd be great. But it's not like it's written in the playbook that as a passenger, you also need to take some responsibility of public safety, so to speak. But on the other hand, this is about your own life, as it turned out to be.
Right.
I think maybe sometimes the passenger, they also afraid that they may accelerate the fight, because if more passenger join the fight, from a positive side, they may solve the problem. But from a negative side, they may make the aggressive emotions between a passenger and the driver even more. Like, maybe the fight will become more intense. So I think maybe this stops some passengers to join the fight or something.
Well, I also think, yeah, you mentioned that some people's attention may have not been on the driver. And I think that that's definitely possible. You know, a lot of times when I'm on the public transportation, I'm focusing a lot on, you know, either catching up on my messages or movies. But I also feel like in this situation, there must have been some shouting going on, and there must have been, I mean, anger. A lot of people can sense it and can feel it. And I just think that it's unfortunate that everyone had to pass on this in this situation because of one angry person. And it just would have been helpful for someone to just say, you know, hey, calm down, you know, I can help you. I can, you know, give you a DD to, you know, get you home, or, you know, because again, it's not just her life, it's everyone's life. And perhaps people didn't think that it would end this way. Maybe they just thought that it would, you know, it was just an argument, and after a few minutes, the lady will, you know, sit down. But apparently it was she was a bit more aggressive.
Yeah. Well, that's one way of looking at it. And of course, this is a really sad story when we're talking about who should sort of take the blame or who should be held accountable. The driver and the woman, the passenger that was creating all the fuss in the first place, they've all passed away. So yeah, this is one of those cases when it's just kind of heartbreaking to go through the details and try to find out who should be taking the ultimate blame when the result we know here. So here, possibly why the 13 passengers who were sitting in the back weren't reacting. It could be possibly this one thing that in psychology is called the diffusion of responsibility. So it's like when a person is less likely to take responsibility for action or inaction when other people are present. Because I can see myself in that situation. I'm a woman, not the strongest person physically. And if I see a fight, I could possibly say, hey, stop doing that. But I'm afraid to go up and pull the person down and back. Or maybe sometimes you'd be wondering, hey, why is not somebody else saying anything when we're all seeing this? I mean, this is a mentality that it's actually kind of easy to relate to, because simply because there's a lot of people present, and the first person that's taking action actually takes some bravery, I think.
Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of us have this situation happen I wouldn't say every day, but it's pretty common. And sometimes I've, like when I'm walking somewhere, I'll see like a car accident, you know, and some people will be on the side of the road and I'll be walking by and I'll feel like, oh, should I say something? Should I help? But then I see other people there and then I feel like, well, other people are involved. So there is that, yeah, the fusion of responsibility where you feel like, well, I think someone else is handling it. Maybe I can just keep going. And so that is definitely a possibility of what happened on this tragedy.
And also I think the other passengers, they didn't foresee the tragic would happen. They may just think it's just a very casual quarrel and everything will be settled down and the bus will keep running.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems like this isn't really this case doesn't happen very often. But it does happen in different parts of the world. I mean, I'm from the U.S. and in the U.S., being a bus driver is actually a very dangerous job, unfortunately. And I was reading on the U.S. news about, you know, the National Transit Advisory Committee for Safety, which is called TRACS. Transit workers are injured every year due to violence on the job. And this can come from an array of things. According to that data, metro drivers are assaulted with, you know, punches and kicks from passengers, spit, and unspecified bottles of liquid. And it's just a lot of, they're the victims of a lot of angry people on buses in the United States. And a report that just came recently, this August, a bus driver was assaulted by a passenger over a fare dispute. Apparently, the passenger had a fistful of pennies, and, you know, the bus driver asked him to pay. The passenger didn't have enough money, mm-hmm. and he asked him to please step off of the bus.
Okay.
And so there was this altercation.
Okay, Tony, then what's the punishment of such behavior?
So in this instance, the driver was actually able to pull over and stop. And then when the police came, this man was arrested and sent to, he'd actually pled guilty. So he ended up going to jail for about 6 months and he had to pay for the bus driver's glasses. And then I believe like $1,000 on top of that.
Go to jail for 6 months. That's what the person, the harasser. Dead.
Yes.
Got.
And I think that has a little bit to do with the U.S. Court system where he didn't try to contest this charge. He just pled guilty to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think his sentence was lighter.
Okay.
You know, and I believe if, you know, in some cases, if there's a death involved, that would be a lot higher.
Right.
Of a case. So, yeah, 6 months and he had to pay for it. So, but, you know, according to this data, this is something that happens a lot, unfortunately, back home. So it seems like there are just some people who are not happy. They want to get on buses and sometimes cause a commotion.
Mm. Well, Huangshan, when you look at this case that happened in Chongqing, what does the Chinese law say about such behavior, especially when it's disturbing public order, plunging the bus into a river costing 15 lives.
Actually, according to a Chinese criminal law, Article 116, so whoever sabotage a train, motor vehicle, tram, ship, or aircraft to such a dangerous extent as to overturn or destroy it, but with no serious consequences, shall be sentenced to fixed-term imprisonment of not less than 3 years, but not more than 10 years. So in this case, there was serious consequences. But sadly, the passenger also lost her life in the tragedy. So before that, we didn't think bus is that a very dangerous traffic method. But when I checked some figures, I found out incomplete statistics show that such incident happened for at least 25 times just in this year in China. And there are lots of cases that passengers were trying to fight with the driver and cause some injuries to the other passengers or even the drivers. So this is actually a frequently happened thing in the country.
I think it's important to put the stats into perspective here, because considering how many bus tours and trips are taken every day and how many bus routes there are in existence in this country, I can't come up with a number, but I would think it would be huge. So I think certainly this is one of the unfortunate things, but it's kind of bitter, I guess. It's when a tragedy as such happens, costing 15 lives,
yeah.
that gets our attention onto a purpose, a cause, or something like this. And now we're seeing a lot more reporting on this issue.
Yeah.
And one silver lining, I suppose, is that if you live in China right now, you can't escape from this piece of news. And I think the amount of awareness that it yeah. is going to raise, it's necessary and it's going to be massive. So that's maybe the silver lining. But also, like Huang Shan has stated, this is happening. But it doesn't seem like people are aware of how severe this problem is
yeah.
or the punishment. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel that at this point where, you know, this unfortunately this had to happen, and I think that a lot of people have awareness of what's going on. And I think that when you do travel on a bus, a lot of people will hopefully remember the lives that were lost and, you know, monitor their behaviors. And I think that this could also make some, you know, changes in public transit, where perhaps that they will have an assistant on the bus, where someone can be there to attend to any, you know, disturbances, or if anyone is, you know, angry at the fare or what have you, this person can deal with it. And that way the bus driver can just focus on driving the bus and not have to, have to deal with, you know, irate passengers. So I think that maybe this modification, or in some places I've seen, I think in New York City, there's some, you know, because some people in New York can be pretty aggressive, there's like a glass wall that kind of protects the driver while he's driving. And so there's, I mean, even if you wanted to, you couldn't touch him or the you know, the steering wheel. So I think perhaps some of these modifications may need to be implemented.
And also, I think after this case, people will raise their awareness of self-protection. I think some buses will have the safety or rescue hammer in the buses, but some they don't have that. So I think for the passenger themselves, they can bring a very tiny safety hammer. It's very small. It's just as big as a key. So you can put it in your pocket. So when your car or when a bus just suddenly or tragically run into the water, you can use that little hammer to save your life.
Oh, wow, Huang Shan. I think, but it would be pretty desperate for passengers to feel that they need to do this. I mean, well, okay. I think certainly you guys make a really good point in sort of ranking the responsibility these people should take. Certainly, I think for the temporary insane behavior, there's got to be something we can stop that, right? And also with the bus driver, certainly fence him up. That's maybe a good thing. But some people are making the argument that if the bus driver has a heart attack or something, you know, emergency as such happened, then no passenger can do anything to save the driver and also themselves.
Wow, that's definitely something I would consider.
Yeah, but certainly I think with bus drivers, their job is very important, although their pay is pretty meager, and it's important to get them trained to deal with all kinds of situations and also to do their jobs professionally. And for people who get so angry and break the rules whenever they are at, that is not acceptable, and that should be a felony. And we see in Chinese law that there is severe punishment to that, and something people should definitely keep in mind. We'll be back after this short break.